You're listening to Morning Edition on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Dan Wanshura. Good morning. When you think of the civil rights movement, do you think of Martin Luther King in the 1960s? Steve Luxenberg says another dramatic civil rights movement was happening 100 years before that. He's written about it in a book called Separate, the story of Plessy versus Ferguson and America's journey from slavery to segregation. The book sheds light on one of the most controversial Supreme Court decisions in U.S. history and gives insight on how that case still affects our country today. I'm going to be interviewing Steve at the City Opera House in Traverse City on February 6th to discuss his newest book, and I'm happy to chat with Steve this morning. Hi there, Steve.
Hey there. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, glad to be here.
For those who don't know, the 1896 Plessy versus Ferguson U.S. Supreme Court decision upheld racial segregation under a separate but equal doctrine. Now, many might recognize that separate but equal phrase, but maybe aren't as familiar with the actual details of the case itself. Steve, would you summarize the Plessy case for us?
So it's the case that comes out of New Orleans. It was a battle against an 1890s law. It was called the Separate Car Act, which mandated separation on public transportation, railroads. And the case was decided 7-1, and the one dissenter was a Southerner, ironically enough, the only one who had owned slaves in his lifetime, a guy named John Marshall Harlan of Kentucky. And the decision was written by a Northerner named Henry Billings Brown, who was born in Massachusetts, but ended up coming to Michigan as a young lawyer and getting to be a federal judge. And the case revolved around, from the New Orleanians' point of view, it revolved around the idea that the 14th Amendment would have barred separation, a conductor making a decision without testimony, without evidence, acting as judge, jury, and prosecutor was a violation of due process, among other things. And the court did not accept that view. It decided the case as a matter of the Louisiana right to keep law and order and peace and harmony through its police powers. And so it decided it as a basis of states' rights, the state's right to enact such legislation under the states' rights idea, which is the 10th Amendment. And that's the basis on which the case was decided.
The separate but equal decision in Plessy stood for almost 60 years until it was struck down in Brown versus Board of Education in 1954. What were some of the things the Plessy decision led to during those 60 years in between?
Well, remember that this case was about one law in one state, Louisiana. Louisiana wasn't the first state to enact a law requiring separation in public accommodations, but it opened the door to other states enacting similar kinds of legislation. And as John Harlan in his dissent predicted, the spread of separation to other parts of American life. Now, he didn't mention separate water fountains or separate swimming pools or segregated schools, but he did envision a much more separate society, and he was disturbed by that. And so, you know, in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson, in announcing affirmative action, talked about how there still wasn't an equal starting line. And that was because of the string of cases that included Plessy that made those starting lines unequal. And then in 54, the Supreme Court said that separate is inherently unequal, can never be equal. And so it effectively overturned Plessy by deciding that schools case that way.
Not to be oversimplistic, but can a lot of the motivation behind segregation be traced back to the desire for political power?
Well, yes and no. I mean, certainly by the 1870s, when you have the rise of white supremacist groups, and even if you weren't a member of the Ku Klux Klan, if you believed in white superiority, you would therefore find it totally acceptable to put down the other race so that you didn't have to share power with them. But the reason I say not quite is because separation and segregation goes back before the Civil War, where there was no doubt who held the political power. In the North, there were not large segments of the population that were African-American, so there wasn't much power sharing going on. So it's a complex stew of, in the South, the loss of the Civil War and the sudden voting Rights Act and the Voting Rights Amendment and the increasing political power of people of color.
When President Barack Obama was elected president in 2008, we began hearing that term post-racial America. Do you think we're anywhere near a post-racial America, Steve?
I don't see a post-racial America, which is not to take anything away from the idea that the United States electing a black president isn't a phenomenal and momentous occasion. It's a very big deal, a big change would never have happened 25, 50 years before. So I think that's too is part of our American story. We're not going to make much progress if we think of Obama as his election as somehow an unusual outlying event. I don't think it's that either, but it obviously is something that there's in many people's minds who are supporters of President Trump. It's part of a black backlash against the election of a black president. I say that race is our national conversation. We're either talking about it or we're avoiding talking about it. And this book is my small contribution to trying to talk more about it.
Steve Luxenberg is an author and associate editor at The Washington Post. He'll be at the City Opera House in Traverse City on Thursday night, where he and I will discuss his new book, Separate. Steve, thanks for being here, and look forward to continuing the conversation on Thursday.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to coming there and looking forward to having your questions and a good audience discussion as well, I hope.